Well, this evening service is about peace offering. And I must tell you that it's going to be a challenging message. And then you may say, wow, Pastor Key, your messages are always challenging. And if it is even more challenging, what are you talking about? Well, as you know, God's word is not my word. And this is what God has given to us for our benefits, for our understanding. And I cannot but expound the things that God has given to us. I'm not diluting the intensity and compactness of God's word. At the same time, I am not adding anything to God's word. So please understand that I'm not trying to intentionally making my message is hard unnecessarily. But this is what the text is talking about. Last week we studied about a grain offering or meal offering or cereal offering. The kernels, the tenderest part of the corns, have been crushed to be mixed with oil and burnt. So our Savior Jesus Christ was crushed and grinded to death on the Calvary's cross, for our sins. We ought to think of His suffering for us, and I think once in a while, we need to consider, we need to think about this. What within us must be crushed and mixed with oil and poured with frankincense to be laid on the altar of God for sweet savor unto Him? As we are thinking about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, I think once in a while, we need to think about the sacrifice we need to make on the altar of God. Today, we are going to study about the peace offering. You know, name is beautiful. However, the peace offering does have a lot of elements we need to think about. So the study itself may not be peaceful, but I trust that this lesson is going to give us a lot of benefits at the end. The reason that I'm going to through these sacrifices from the book of Leviticus is because we need to be taught about the ways to worship God properly. We have to understand that the book of Leviticus was given to the children of Israel who already knew God as their God. And the children of Israel were chosen people of God, and they have been called as the nation of God or people of God. Even to the people of God who experienced direct manifestation of the presence of God, God gave these lessons to teach them how to make their access to God and how to worship God. Therefore, the book of Leviticus, all these sacrifices are for us. Basically, these are not for the unbelievers who do not know the Lord. It is for us who know God. And the children of Israel did not know how to worship God, and as a result, they displeased Him. And we do not want to fall into the same predicaments. The peace offering is peculiar even in its name. The burnt offering reminds us of burning. The meat offering or grain offering reminds us of grinding and crushing. The sin and trespass offerings remind us of the sins within us. In contrast, the name of the peace offering smears the sense of calmness and tranquility in our mind. So before we go into the text and offering itself, let us have some preliminary talks. First, let me begin with the name of this sacrifice, peace offering. The Hebrew name of this offering is used nearly 90 times in the Old Testament. And most of the times, it occurs in the plural form. So peace offerings in the Hebrew language, plural form, except one instance in Amos chapter 5, verse 22. The Hebrew word for the peace offering shares the same root word with the word that you know quite well, shalom, which means peace, prosperity, well, or safety. Therefore, the name peace offering offers us a sense of God's blessings and God's prosperity. Its Greek translation is even more intriguing, and the Greek translation is even more fascinating, more beautiful. The meaning of the Greek translation of the Hebrew word for the peace offering is salvation sometimes this word has been translated as a deliverance. So deliverance or salvation. Thus, the literal meaning of the Greek name for the peace offering is the sacrifice of salvation or sacrifice of deliverance. Isn't it fantastic? I do not know how the Greek Old Testament translators came across to find this particular expression for the peace offering, but it is a very pleasant discovery that they use the word for salvation or deliverance to refer to the peace offering. There must be some implications why they chose the word. Second, in the Old Testament books, the peace offering comes usually in the last place in the list of the sacrifices. We know that there are a lot of sacrifices. We have studied so far burnt offering and cereal or grain offering or meat offering. And we are going to study sin offering next week. And the following week, we're going to study the trespass offering. By the way, all those offerings are very important. And I think there are a lot of things you have never seen before. And so I want to encourage you to come to study with me. In the meanwhile, you need to pray for me so that I can prepare well. And interestingly, within the list, whenever the list of sacrifices we find, always the peace offering comes to the last place. Even though it is not the case in the Leviticus chapter 3. In this case, peace offering is in the middle. The third one out of five sacrifices. Thus, many Bible scholars regard this sacrifice as the concluding sacrifice. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 11 to 14 says this, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." So here, Paul is explaining that before we were brought into Christ Jesus, in fact, we were without Christ, outside of the commonwealth of Israel, and we were strangers from the covenant of promises, and so on. Then verse 13, chapter 2, book of Ephesians, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." And verse 14, "For he," Christ, "is our peace." That is the word peace. "Who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." So there is no more partition between the Jews and Gentiles. By the blood of Jesus, in Christ Jesus, they were together. And they became one. It is because Christ is our peace. And in fact, the peace offering is a beautiful picture of Christ's work and ministry to make us in peace with God as well. That's why Romans chapter 5, 1 says this, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ is our peace offering, as the name of this sacrifice indicates. Leviticus chapter 3 falls into three paragraphs. Verses 1 to 5, the cattle. And verses 6 to 11, sheep. Then verses 12 to 16, goats. And the last verse in chapter 3 verse 17, a permanent statute prohibits the eating of fat or blood, and that's the end of the chapter. So that's a brief outline according to the kind of offering to be offered for peace offering. Cattle, 1 to 5, sheep, 6 to 11, goats, 12 to 16, and 17 gives us a permanent statute concerning the prohibition of eating fat or blood. So let's go into the offering itself, and I cannot but bring out a lot of technical things out of different texts in the Old Testament. And without going into all those technical details, I think we cannot have a fuller picture of peace offering. So though it may be a bit complicated, I hope that you can pay attention. Okay, characteristics of the peace offering. An offerer brings his sacrificial animal, which is perfect and without any blemishes, according to chapter 3, verse 1. So, perfect and unblemished animals are given as the peace offering. The animals of the sacrifice were oxen, sheep, and goats, but not pigeons, interestingly. In Leviticus chapter 7, verse 12, and 9, 4, or 18, pigeon is not a part of peace offering. And the offerer lays his hands on the head of the animal and kills it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. It is worth noting that the place of killing of the peace offering is different from other sacrifices, such as burnt sin or trespass offerings, or other sacrifices. All other sacrifices were killed at the north side of the altar. So chapter 111, chapter 4:33, or chapter 7, verse 2. Or other sacrifices, those animals were to be killed at the north side of the altar, while the peace offering was to be killed at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, according to chapter 3, verse 2. And chapter 3, verse 8 and verse 13 say that the offerers must kill the animal before the tabernacle of the congregation. And we know that the sacrificial animals were killed within the court of the tabernacle. Then what does he mean by killing those sacrificial animals before the tabernacle of the tabernacle of the congregation? Before the tabernacle of the congregation. And I wasn't sure what it means, so I decided to look up the Jewish encyclopedia. And the Jewish encyclopedia states that the offerers of the peace offering could kill their sacrificial animals in any part of the court. Not only at the north of the tabernacle, but any part of the court. Then the priests take the blood and sprinkle it upon the altar round about. They will burn the fat of the animal upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. So it was an offering made by fire, and also it was a sweet savor unto the Lord. The peace offering is different from other sacrifices over the kind of animals. According to verse 1 and 6 in chapter 3, a sacrificial animal could be chosen from either male or female. In contrast, male animal was required for the burnt offering, for example. And also, when this offering is related to a free will offering, it appears that minor blemish even was permitted according to Leviticus chapter 22, verses 21 to 23. You know, I may confuse you here. I said free will offering. Well, free will offering is within the category of the peace offering. So that's why I'm just mentioning free will offering, but I'm not talking about a different kind of offering, okay? I'm going to talk about those sub-category group sacrifices within the peace offering a little bit later. And the fatness seems to be the leading characteristic of the offering. And the fatness is typical of abundance and prosperity in a biblical kind of imagery. It is not easy to know why no one was allowed to eat fats, and it must be given to the Lord. We understand why blood is not supposed to be taken by us, because blood represents and signifies the life. But why the fat? Well, I think that Alan Ross offers a good explanation on this matter in his commentary on the book of Leviticus. He says, in quote, "The simplest explanation is that fat, though inedible, was associated with the best. An animal that was fat was well fed and healthy. Likewise, for Israel to eat of the fat of the land meant it enjoyed the abundance of the land." If you look at Genesis 45, verse 18, you may find that imagery. "Thus, if the animal did indeed represent worshippers, then giving the fat to God symbolically meant they were giving the best part of their lives unto God." End of quote. The kind of fats is elaborated in verses 3 and 4 in Leviticus chapter 3. Would you like to read those verses, Leviticus chapter 3, verses 3 and 4? Okay, let's read them together, shall we? And he shall offer of the sacrifice. Amen. In fact, if you read those verses very carefully, it describes the fat very much in detail and how those fatty parts must be removed and so on. These fats have to be burnt on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice. It is interesting. Those fats are supposed to be burnt by fire, but when they are burnt, actually they are burnt on the top of the burnt sacrifice. This is one of the characteristics of the peace offering. And in fact, it is repeated in verses 14, 15, and verse 16 says, "And priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor. All the fat is the Lord's." And verse 17 clearly states that no one was allowed to eat fat or blood. Then the peace offering was eaten by various groups. I think this is another very significant and interesting difference of the peace offering from other sacrifices. Of the sacrifice, the sacrificial animal was killed, and then fat pieces were taken out and they were offered. They were dedicated to God, as we studied so far. Then to the priests were given the breast and the right shoulder. So breast and the right shoulder, according to chapter 7, verses 30 and 32. The breast parts assigned to the priest constituted the wave offering. Well, so this is a peace offering, and fat part of peace offering is given to the Lord. And then breast part is given to the priest. Then when priest receives this breast part, he offers it to the Lord as a wave offering. So within the peace offering, there is wave offering. And to the the right shoulder, priests are given also the right shoulder. And with the right shoulder, priest makes a heave offering, according to Leviticus chapter 7, verse 32. So, under the umbrella of peace offering, we find wave offering and heave offering. And we already mentioned the free will offering before. But the priests are supposed to give a wave offering and heave offering when they received a portion from the peace offering. And then the rest of the animal was given to the worshiper. The remainder was given to the worshiper. The peace offerings were usually private sacrifices, though it is not always the case. And when peace offering was made, basically, the worshippers entered into a common feast because the remainder part of the sacrifice was given to them and they were able to eat them. Of course, it does not mean that, peace offering has to be always private, because the public peace sacrifices were given with a ram at the installation of the priests in Exodus chapter 29. Sometimes, when these leftovers were given to the offerer himself, the guests were invited. So the poor, the stranger, or the Levite, as well as the male and female servants, they were invited and they could join the domestic circle to consume the remaining part. So it is like a real feast. Therefore, the peace offering was like a communal meal for all those people who are invited. It seems that the participation is an invitation basis. However, Levitically clean persons could participate in the meal. What I'm saying is this. There are certain laws in the within this these regulations, and when those worshippers are participating in some sort of rituals or ceremonies, they must be clean ritually, and they should have been staying away from certain things, or they have not touched unclean things, and so on. So there are certain rules known to us as a rule for ritual cleansing. And so Levitically clean people were able to participate in this meal. So Leviticus chapter 7 verses 19 and 20 say this: "And the flesh that toucheth any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burnt with fire, and as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. But the soul that eateth of the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that pertain unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people." In other words, if someone comes to this communal meal and taking a part of the meal, the meat from the sacrifice, if that person is unclean, there was a consequence, and he was going to be cut off from his people. Therefore, ritually, Levitically, all the participants must be clean. The meal from the peace offering is holy. Thus, the eaters must make themselves holy by cleansing themselves. Along with the meat, there was also bread, both leavened and unleavened bread, according to Leviticus chapter 7, verses 12 and 13. That is another characteristic, because normally in sacrifices, when bread is made, no leaven was allowed. However, in this case, either leavened bread or unleavened bread, either one was okay. It is a significant feature for the peace offering, because Jesus Christ is our peace offering, and we are the ones who are invited into his feast he prepared for us. And I will elaborate this point a little bit later. And the meat that was unconsumed, you know, let me suppose that a huge animal was slaughtered, and all those necessary parts were given to the Lord and given to the priest, and huge portion was left, and there were just only a few people were supposed to consume the meat, but somehow they could not finish it. And what shall we do? What did they have to do? Well, those remaining part should not be profaned. Even for that remaining leftovers, there were certain regulations the worshippers had to keep. That which was left over from the peace offering for a thanksgiving offering had to be consumed on the same day, according to Leviticus 7:15. So now I gave you another subcategory offering under the umbrella of peace offering, thanksgiving offering. If the peace offering was given as a thanksgiving offering, and there was a leftover, well, that leftover should not be left over until the following day, but everything had to be consumed on the same day. The residue of the other communal sacrifices had to be disposed of on the second day. And if the peace offering was for a vow or voluntary offering, I give you another one. Under the umbrella of peace offering, there was vow or voluntary offering. So making a vow, an offering was to be made. If this peace offering was for vow or a voluntary offering, then the remaining part could be consumed on the second day. And all that then remained had to be burnt on the third day. Those remaining, the remainders should not be left continually, but by third day, everything had to be burnt and consumed. Eating from the meat offered for the peace offering on the third day is strictly forbidden, according to Leviticus chapter 7, verse 18. So these are some technical things about the peace offering. And there are types of peace offering. I have mentioned a lot of offerings so far. Thanksgiving, heave offering, wave offering, and voluntary or vow offering, and so on. And there are a lot of different kinds of offerings within the peace offering. In fact, if you read Leviticus chapter 7, verses 11 to 36, you may be able to find some more about the peace offering. Okay, let me begin with the wave offering. I told you when certain portions of the peace offering were given to the priests, priests were supposed to offer them first to the Lord, number one, as wave offering, and number two, as the heave offering. And these words are quite complicated, so let me just explain to you about those things. Let me talk about the wave offering from Leviticus chapter 7, verses 30 and 31. Leviticus 7, 30 and 31 says this: His own hand shall bring the offerings of the Lord made by fire, the fat with the breast. It shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. And the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons'. So breast part is given to the priest from a peace offering. Then priest is going to sort all those fatty parts out, and he has to burn all those fats on the altar. The remaining part, pure flesh, is going to be his. So then the fat with the breast was to be burnt on the altar. The breast was given as a wave offering according to Leviticus 7:30. There are at least two explanations about the ways to conduct the wave offering. One is that the breast, the part assigned to the priest, is waved backward and forward in a line with the altar. Line with the altar. We know that in the tabernacle, there is an altar. And so wherever the peace offering was slaughtered and it was offered, so first of all, backward and forward in a line with the altar. So priest was supposed to offer it to the Lord. So it's simple. It is not going to be burnt. It is just waving. And the portion is given to the priest for his consumption, for his eating. And another explanation is that the priest waved it forward first towards the door of the tabernacle or before the Lord, then back again towards him. The idea is that I offer it to the Lord and it is given back to me. So that is the idea with the second suggestion. Number one, backward and forward. And the other one, forward and backward. But there is a wave. And so that is being called as a wave offering. And this is within the peace offering. It has been generally agreed that these movements, you know, forward, backward, backward, forward, symbolize that the priest offered the gift to God and received it back from him. Then there is a heave offering. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 32 says, And the right shoulder shall he give unto the priest for a heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offering. So again, shoulder is given to the priest, and it will be eaten by the priest and his families and so on. But there is a heave offering. The heave offering has two interesting characteristics. One is that this portion of the peace offering was given to the officiating priest. And it is very clear. So out of this sacrifice, a portion is given to the priest. And the other is that its name was derived from the ceremony of heaving or lifting up the gift to the towards heaven. So heave offering is lifting up, lifting the portion up to the Lord. So that is a heave offering. And both the heave and wave offerings are allowed to be eaten outside the sanctuary, though in a clean place. And the priest's family might partake of them according to Leviticus chapter 10, verse 14. Okay, so on the priest's side, heave offering, lifting up, wave offering, backward and forward, or forward or backward, that and they are the kinds of peace offerings. Then there are more kinds of peace offerings. There are three kinds of peace offerings. Number one, thanksgiving offering. I already told you about it. The number two, votive offering. Votive offering is to make a vow or making a promise to God or something like that. And number three is free will offering. And I have mentioned all of them before. And let me explain to you about those offerings. Let me begin with a thanksgiving offering. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 12 is the verse for it. And this thanksgiving offering is with unleavened cakes mingled with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour and fried. And this thanksgiving offering was given completely and wholly at one's free will, according to Leviticus 22, verse 29. The people of God are exhorted to give their God thanksgiving in Psalm 50, 14, which says, "Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High." And in fact, its more literal translation is, "Offer sacrifice of thanksgiving to God." So, peace offering was a part of thanksgiving offering. Well, rather, thanksgiving offering was a part of peace offering. So, when we are thankful, we give to the Lord a thanksgiving offering. And that's a peace offering. The second offering is votive offering. Or, basically, when we are making a vow, this is the offering we give. So, when we verbally consecrated of God, which means to vow, to perform, or to make an offering, or to abstain from something. And we make a promise to God. And when we make a promise to God, that is a vow. And if we have made a vow, then we must keep the vow. A vow binds one's self with what proceeds from one's mouth. So if we have said anything to the Lord verbally, then we are obligated to keep our words before God. That's why when we are making a vow, we need to be very, very careful with those words. You know, in fact, when I was a part of youth group many years ago, a lot of young ladies were so enthusiastic in serving God, and they wanted to dedicate their lives unto the Lord. And I remember that quite a number of them actually made vows carelessly by saying, "Lord, we are not going to get married, and we'll give our lives unto you for lifetime services." Then later on, somehow they found a wonderful man in their lives, and they began to wonder what to do with the matter. Well, making a vow is a serious matter. And therefore, there is a binding factor if we make a vow. Vow is something promised to God verbally. If a man promises, then he's obliged to fulfill, or he's obliged to do his promise according to Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 22. And when the word vow is used in the Bible, in the biblical term, in fact, the biblical vow is always given to God, not to man. It is not used for a promise, to refer to promise between man and man, but between man and God. So when man promises to God. A person can even vow himself to service, or to be vowed to service. And later on, if he's not in such a position, then eventually he will have to redeem himself out of that vow. And so Leviticus chapter 27, verses 2 and 3. Would you like to read those verses? Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus chapter 27. Verses 2 and 3. Let's read them together. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When a man shall make a singular vow, the person shall be for the Lord by thy estimation. And thy estimation shall be of the male from 20 years old, even unto 60 years old. Even thy estimation shall be 50 shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary. In other words, if a person has made a vow to serve and he could not do and so on, there was a redemption to be made, and it was the instruction concerning how to make that redemption is explained in those verses. Under certain circumstances, two animals had to be offered. For example, a person gave one sacrificial animal, but later on he found that there are some blemishes and some problems and so on, so he had to exchange it for a clean animal, unblemished one, and he brings a new one. In such a case, there is no exchange made. This is God's, and new one is God's as well. So both are supposed to be given to the Lord. Both are holy. That's why when something is designated and dedicated to God, there is a holiness and sacredness attached. Once after things are given to the Lord, no man is allowed to touch it. So we need to be very careful when we make a vow or when we touch the things of God. There is sacred value. Making vows, by the way, then you may say, wow, you know, it is a kind of scary thing to make any vow before God. Well, be glad, because it's not a religious duty on your part to make a vow. You are not obligated to make a vow. But oftentimes we make a vow, it is because maybe something happened to us in our lives, and we are so thankful and we want to do something, or we are dead serious about certain matters in relation to our relations with God and so on. So we make a vow out of thanksgiving or out of adoration unto God and so on. So it is, I think, a beautiful thing that we may be able to make certain vows to God. However, it is not a religious duty. Therefore, what we utter anything from our mouth, we must be careful. Because purely, it is a voluntary act. Therefore, we should not put ourselves under some sort of bondage of our own words unless we are really willing to keep our words. Deuteronomy chapter 23. Let us turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 23. We are going to read verses 21 to 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23, 21 to 23. Yeah, let's read it. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou that which is gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. Amen. So verse 23 says, that which is gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep and perform. And the latter part of verse 22 says, but if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. In other words, even though you are not going to make any vow, it is not sinful. But if you have made any vow, then keep it. Vows were acts of devotion and love contracted either preceding or following divine blessing. For example, when I deeply felt that God was calling me, I made a vow. And I told the Lord that I was going to give my life to Him for full-time ministry for the rest of my life. And that was a vow. And that was an honor and privilege that I had. And so vows were acts of devotion and love contracted either preceding and following divine blessings. And there is also a voluntary offering. Voluntary offering. This offering comes from Leviticus chapter 7, verse 16. An interesting thing is that this is an offering offered by a stirred heart. The Lord touches him. Lord moves his heart. And there is a stirring heart, a stirred heart within him. So his spirit is willing to offer it for all his service and for the holy garment. In Leviticus chapter 35, verse 21. Exodus 35 verse 21 says this, "And they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation." So when God stirs us up, we do things for him. This is an offering brought out by willing heart. And I hope that your hearts are often touched and moved by the Spirit of God. I hope that your hearts are not stony hearts. I hope that your hearts are very sensitive to the touches of God's divine hands. A voluntary offering was eaten by the offerer. Like when I shared about the gospel tracts and so on. You know, one of the deacons in New Life Church in Singapore said, "Pastor T, our sponsor, your printing cost for your gospel tracts, and I will give this much of money." Well, that is a kind of voluntary offering. When his heart is stirred and he's willing to do it. And a voluntary offering was eaten by the offerer. So, then there is a difference between a free will offering and a votive offering or a vow offering. Leviticus chapter 22. Leviticus chapter 22, 23 says, "Either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts, then mayst thou offer for a free offering, but not a vow, it shall not be accepted." I hope that you can read it together. Why don't you turn your Bibles to read it. Leviticus 22, 23. Okay. 22:23. Let's read it. "Either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in its parts, that thou offer for a free offering, but for a vow, he shall not be accepted." Amen. It is interesting. Here it says, "Either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts, that mayst thou offer for a free will offering." Free will offering is under the category of peace offering. And so far we have seen that all the sacrificial animals' sacrifices must be unblemished and perfect. But here it says, "Either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts, still those animals will be accepted for free will offering, but not for votive offering." In fact, anything superfluous or lacking in his parts, that Hebrew expression is being translated by the Greek translation saying ears slit or ducked tail. So in other words, a part of this animal is missing. But still, the animal was received for a free will offering, but not for vow offering. So there is a difference between free will offering and a votive or vow offering. Then what can we learn from the peace offering? I think there are a few things we need to consider. First of all, it is worth noting that the Hebrew word for the peace offering may have various meanings. The Bible scholars have given different names to this offering. Some will say that it is a fellowship offering because the Lord served as the host, and when the Israelites presented him an animal as his offering, the Lord left to them a portion of it as their meal. Thus, it gives a sense of gladness and joy to the offerers of this offering that they sit at the same table with the Lord. They offered it to God, and God gave a portion of it to them so that they can consume it. So it is like a communal meal So some scholars love to call it as a fellowship offering. Some people will say that this is a well-being offering because of the name, peace offering. Some will say that it is a salvation or deliverance offering, as the Septuagint or Greek translation of the Old Testament translates. Second, the peace offering in its name and functions carries an idea that God and man are reconciled. That's why they are having a meal together. The importance of this offering is that man partakes of the offering. It signifies that the fellowship that man may enjoy before the Lord. It indicates that there is a communion between God and man. There is no more barrier anymore. Only the peace offering offers it to the offerers, and other offerings do not allow the offerers to take any portion of it for their own consumption. The peace offering connects man to God as a sign of reconciliation. There is no enmity between God and man. And man eats before God a portion of the offering he in fact had offered to God. In this regard, Jesus Christ is our peace offering. He's offered to God as a sacrifice for our sins, and we dwell in Jesus Christ by partaking of his flesh and blood. Thus we enjoy the reconciliation with our God. This offering has been regarded as the most important sacrifice amongst the Jewish rabbis, in fact. They have said that after the Messiah has come, and all offerings have been rendered superfluous, the bringing of fellowship offerings would nevertheless continue. So they say burnt offering will be ceased, and sin offering will be ceased, and every other offerings will be ceased. However, peace offering is for the fellowship with God, therefore, even after the Messiah has come, this offering will be continued. In that regard, peace offering has been considered as the most important sacrifice. The third characteristic of the peace offering is that it shed blood. Even though the name is very peaceful, peace offering, it does not mean that there was no blood in it. There is a blood. The animal had to shed its own blood. It is because there is no peace with God until the debt of sin was paid. Thus, the sacrificial victim had to shed its own blood. Likewise, before we come to God, in fact, even though we are enjoying our reconciliation with God, enjoying our peace with God, but behind it, there was sacrifice offered, and the blood was shed, and the life was taken, and we know that the wages of sin is death. The burdens of sin was laid on this peace offering, and peace offering was sacrificed, and blood was shed. We must see that the Lord demands particular parts of fats must be given, parts of fats given to him in this offering. In fact, he claims that all fat belongs to him. One thing we must know is that the fat had to be removed very painstakingly. You know, sometimes when we buy chicken for, you know, Sunday meal or Saturday meal and so on, Myung sometimes has pain in her wrists or her fingers, and she asks me to help her. And one of the things that she wants to remove is the fats from chicken pieces. And so I have to go through every piece very carefully and cut it off and so on. But here and there are a lot of fat pieces, and it takes really time, and it requires a lot of work to remove all those fats. The fats covering the inner parts must be removed and burned for the Lord. So painstakingly, every single fat had to be removed from this peace offering. In fact, the kidneys are mentioned most frequently from which fat had to be taken for burning. That is, in fact, in Leviticus chapter 3. In the scriptures, by the way, the kidneys and the hearts are often spoken together, and the kidneys are known as the seat of man's feelings, thoughts, and conscience. The peace offering requires the offerings of our feelings, thoughts, and even conscience unto our God. It is easy to make one commitment to the Lord. You know, even though it is not easy to make a commitment, in comparison to this teaching we are going to think about, making a commitment is relatively easy. It is harder to give up our feelings and thoughts for the Lord constantly. Just like we remove those things for the Lord. We give up our own things, our feelings, our emotions, our thoughts for the Lord. And constantly we are trying to be in line with the thoughts of God. It requires our maturity in faith. The previous point, this point, must be understood in the light of the fact that the fat must be burnt on the top of the burnt offering that was on the burning wood according to Leviticus chapter 3, 5. So when peace offering is an offering made by fire, however, it was not offered by itself, but it was offered on the top of the burnt offering. So when a peace offering is given in the late morning or early evening, the burnt offering was still burning. On the top of it, the peace offering was consumed, burnt. The burnt offering signifies our complete surrender. On the top of this complete surrender, we are to give our peace offering for the fellowship of God. I think it gives us ample lessons we must learn. For example, if we say that we have fellowship with God, but without surrendering our lives completely unto God first, then we are deceiving ourselves. How can we say that we have good relationship with God, we are fellowshipping with God, but we have never surrendered ourselves to God? It doesn't make any sense. There is no deep fellowship without making commitments unto God first. Or if we say that we have surrendered ourselves to God, but we have never enjoyed our fellowship with Him, our spiritual life is something wrong. Or we need to grow into more maturity. If you and I enjoy the communion with God, we ought to remember that we must be offered on the top of our burnt offering, complete surrender. It is so hard to make that complete surrender. We are resisting within us. We have our own wills, our own plans, our own thoughts, and we are insisting on them rather than we follow His will. Unless we are completely surrendered to God, we may not enjoy the peace of God in our spiritual life. Have we considered our feelings, thoughts, conscience? Well, lastly, I cannot ignore the name given to this offering in the Greek Old Testament. It is called a salvation or deliverance offering. How true it is. Jesus Himself offered Himself as a sacrifice for our salvation. As a result, we have peace with God. The peace offering was a joyous celebration. An offerer who wished to praise the Lord and to give thanksgiving unto God, or to fulfill his vows, or to give his freewill offering, brought a peace offering to the Lord. The best portion was given to the Lord, and good portions to the priests, and the remaining parts were shared with other people. It also implies an inner surrender of the offerer to the Lord, including his emotions and wills. Peace offering signifies our communion with the Lord and reconciliation with Him. Jesus is our peace offering before God. As the offerer of the peace offering ate meat from His sacrifice, so the believers of Jesus today do exactly the same thing. In fact, in John chapter 6, verses 51 to 58, Jesus said, "Unless you eat my flesh and my blood, you are not of me." So Jesus Christ is our peace offering, and He was offered to the Lord for our reconciliation, our peace with God. At the same time, whenever we are coming to God through Jesus, we are taking His flesh and His blood. It is because He is our peace offering through which we have communion with the Lord. Let us look to the Lord in prayer.